This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Hello everyone, my name is Omar Seviana. I am the ecosystem lead at Cello Labs for Uganda, working on a blockchain platform called Cello. And I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, and I'm Daniel Kimoto, ecosystem lead for Kenya, working at Cello Labs. Both apply.
So interesting. So I think as is, you know, when we talk about the blockchain space, most people understand, or most people are aware of the nature of application in terms of the cryptocurrency, but they don't know at the back end of the crypto, blockchain powers the cryptocurrency and the digital coins. As we kick this off, maybe to begin with Umar, please briefly tell us about Cello's journey in the African continent in terms of powering and facilitating startups who are, say, developers and entrepreneurs to launch blockchain products for their customers. How has that journey been?
Thank you very much, Eric. And I'm very excited to be here talking about Cello. Well, Cello is, like you mentioned, it's a mobile-first blockchain platform that is on a mission to build a financial system that creates the conditions for prosperity for everyone. So it's an open source, all welcoming, mobile first blockchain platform. So this is kind of at the foundation of what we do at Cello Labs and within the Cello ecosystem. It's open for everybody. So anybody who wants to build on the platform, if you have the technical know-how, you can be able to get the code and be able to build applications on the Cello platform. So this is the story or the backstory of how Cello is coming to market within the African continent, as it's the same story on any other continent, whether it's North America or South America or Asia. Cello has no particular, say, bias to where it can go to market. It's a technology that is built for the whole world, and we're trying to see how best we can be able to leverage these tools to make better financial systems that work for all of us. So this is kind of the approach that we have. And you find that being mobile first and being people first, if I could also say, because it's at people at the center of Cello as a platform, we see that it's the same approach that we have within the African continent that we can see in Asia or in North America or South America or Australia or Europe. It's kind of the same openness that comes, whereby Cello intends to build with people as opposed to building for people. So it works with the host communities, people who are native to the area, and we are able to create dApps, which are distributed, decentralized applications on the platform that do service the needs of a local population. So this has been very instrumental in seeing Cello get the traction that we've been able to get to this point, as we build for people, whether we build with people as opposed to building for them. So people end up influencing what gets built on the platform, and the applications do actually work for them. So in a nutshell, this the open source, mobile first, people first approach that Cello uses on the African continent has been instrumental in as far as getting traction and seeing that people do know that Cello is the mobile first platform that they can be able to go to and run finance on. So this is kind of the thinking that we are leveraging to go to market within Africa, and it's also working very well within other parts of the world.
Great. Dan, you lead the Cello ecosystem in Kenya, and as you're aware, Kenya is one of the leading countries in terms of adoption of mobile-based financial service products. I've been with Cello for a couple of, for some time now. Maybe tell us how's that done been in Kenya, in terms of supporting and powering local developers to launch blockchain-based products?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, and a really good one and a relevant one. Now, personally, my career within the blockchain space started out and still continues as an entrepreneur in the space. I got to join Cello Labs through the Cello Camp. Actually, Cello Camp was a pathway into which I got into deeper contact with the Cello ecosystem. What had happened was that initially we had an enterprise that did validation. And so we were trying out validation on Cello and trying to see if we can support the network as a validator that is recording the different blockchain transactions, processing the transactions that are happening on the network and securing the network on that front. But while we were still doing that, we were also observing different needs that the ecosystem here had provided, or rather was expressing. And one of the biggest needs that had come up was a need for simpler ways of people to be onboarded and offboarded from crypto. So moving from the Kenya shilling into the Celo dollar and moving from the Celo dollar into the Kenya shilling. And so that was a need that was there. And through the Celo camp, we got in at the time with a startup. And that was how I started getting more deeply involved with the ecosystem. Now, as an entrepreneur and working with engineers on the team that I had at the time, was a really interesting experience because we got to have a lot of support from the Celo ecosystem. Not only did we get technical mentors during our time at the camp, but we also got business model mentors. And we also got a huge base of support from members of the community who championed our projects and really rooted for us to succeed. It actually means a lot when you have a community championing the different initiatives that are being built. And at the same time, opportunities then started coming to participate in pilot programs and become part of whatever activities of research were going on in the ecosystem. And so I have seen this play out with very many startups that have joined the ecosystem and very many developers that have become part that have joined the ecosystem. Not only have they gotten to learn about blockchain from people who have participated in it for quite a long time and therefore accelerate their knowledge, at the same time, they've also been able to learn about the different business models that exist in the space. And beyond that, they've been able to also find opportunities and embed themselves either in pilot projects, embed themselves on teams, building different products, or even find fellowships and other kinds of opportunities in the space. So I have seen developers who have gone through these different kinds of journeys. Of course, everybody's journey is different, but there are tons of opportunities because there's tons of work to be done and there's tons of building that is going on. And therefore, somebody who is proactive, who has initiative and who is really looking to contribute will always get an opportunity to participate, to learn and to grow with the ecosystem. So for a lot of startups that are coming into the ecosystem now, many of them get the chance to participate in the grants that are available from the Celo Foundation and also other grants that are available within the ecosystem from the Community Fund that also supports various kinds of initiatives, technical initiatives, educational initiatives, any kind of initiative that people have, the Community Fund is open to listening to these propositions that come. There are also venture capital firms that have set up within the ecosystem. There's Flory VC that has really supported a lot of startups, and very many teams based out of Africa have gotten their seed funding. And not only do they get seed funding, they also get to do a sprint within a couple of weeks with the VC firm, and thereafter get prepared to do a bigger round of fundraising so that they can then scale. So I'm seeing a lot of opportunities for startups, and for founders, for developers to get in and contribute. Larger startups can access the Celo Ecosystem Fund. We saw that there was an investment made in Yellowcard, which was quite substantial, with Yellowcard being an ecosystem player. And so there are a lot of opportunities for, I guess, every kind of size of startup that plays in the ecosystem, and even larger companies get to join the Celo Alliance and get to participate. And hopefully Uma and I will talk about some of the works going on with the Celo Alliance and what different people and organizations are doing.
Yeah, thanks for that, great outline of what, Celo is doing. And maybe just to give a wide view of the space, Daniel, maybe you can tell us what can you see when it comes to adoption and any emerging trends within the crypto space in Africa. I would like to hear your comment on that and possibly also Umar afterwards.
Awesome. Yeah. And I guess with some of this observation, it depends on who's looking and where they're looking from. So perhaps a lot of my own biases may fall into what I say, but I'm seeing a lot of people that I meet talking about the need to have interoperable currencies, or currencies that they can use, a currency they can use across in any country, or a medium of exchange that they can go with in any country. And so if somebody flies out from Nigeria and comes to Kenya or Tanzania or Uganda, they can still carry around the same amount of value that they have on their mobile wallet, because everybody's on mobile these days, and then get to participate in the local economy of wherever they've come from without having to go to a bureau to exchange and get local currency and then leave within that economy. So I'm seeing a lot of developers and founders that I'm meeting speaking about this kind of opportunity where they'd want to leverage something like stable currencies, like the Celo stable coins, Celo dollar or Celo euro, with which then they can build layers of technology on top to enable people to have these currencies work across in any country that they visit. So that's one of the trends that I'm seeing builders heading onto. Of course, there's the larger trend of the decentralized finance. And within the Celo ecosystem, we had all these many partners who came on, very large projects from Ethereum and other notable networks that are also extending support and building on Celo. And with that came $100 million in rewards and that whole initiative, the budget of the whole initiative. And so we are seeing many projects out here in Africa starting to look at how they can then leverage this decentralized finance space. So for instance, there are some wallets I have connected to the founders who are speaking about how they can leverage the decentralized finance space to offer their customers a better savings rate than they can get in their local environments. And so some of these use cases are being adopted by regular kind of fintech companies, and they're leveraging the decentralized finance space either for better rewards and for better rates than they can get in the traditional space. So that's the second trend I'm seeing. So the first one was, of course, the interoperable payments powered by stable currencies. The second one that I'm seeing is decentralized finance as a source of more products, more financial products for customers on the continent. And of course, there's more and more innovation going on, especially in the P2P space, where we're seeing many people building out services that make payments cheaper, mobile payments cheaper, and utilizing networks like Celo that have very small gas fees and allow these payments to be accessible by many people. You know, there's the case where many people don't want to use mobile money because of the expense that comes with the transactions. And so that is being solved by some of the startups that are looking to make that whole process affordable by leveraging a blockchain that has very low fees. So those are, I guess, the top three trends that I'm seeing. Of course, there are others that are growing in the space, such as merchant financing, while sourcing capital from ecosystems like Celo to power that whole lending enterprise, and other lending initiatives that are taking place using smart contracts to lower the cost of operations of these lending companies. Many of these DeFi lending projects actually leverage smart contracts to lower the cost of operation, and therefore they have leaner teams and they have less of a footprint and are able to offer loans at a very low rate because the cost of operation is quite low. And so those I would say would be my top five trends that I've observed and that I'm continuing to keep an eye on. Hopefully we'll see more African countries perhaps building an appetite to launch stable currencies, because now we have the popular ones, you know, the US dollar and the euro, and hopefully over time that's perhaps going to be a conversation that's going to start.
Interesting. Great insights, Daniel. I think speaking of adoption in Africa, recent news is that Nigeria, Ghana are soon launching their CBDCs, and I'm sure across the continent that would be like most of the countries will be watching to see how that performs and how they can replicate across the continent. Something that has been of interest to me will be is on the Celo, the Celo Alliance for Prosperity. And on this one, I've seen recently a number of the membership is growing very, very fast. A number of companies from Africa are joining. Maybe to Umar, could you please mention about what has the alliance achieved so far in Africa, and maybe touch briefly about some of the recent partnerships in Africa and the thinking behind them.
Thank you very much, Eric. Regarding the Celo Alliance for Prosperity, this is it's actually a subset under the Celo Foundation. So all the members under the alliance are under the Celo Foundation. So meaning these are members of the Celo Foundation. And the Celo Alliance for Prosperity is a group of entities that are committed to leveraging their unique talents or strong points towards fostering the Celo ecosystem. So you have a variety of entities from education sector to finance, tech, and it's kind of an all-round society of entities. Right now, there are, I think, around 160 entities in there, and they come from all over the globe. So for the case of Africa, I would actually zero in on Uganda. We currently have five alliance members, and they all do various things within the local ecosystem. So for instance, for the case of Uganda, we have Crypto Savannah. Crypto Savannah is a technology company that is actually a blockchain powerhouse for Africa. They do build blockchain solutions, and also they are thought leaders when it comes to technology on the African continent. So then into blockchain and also AI and other emerging technologies. They're also helping us with a lot of localization for Celo within Uganda. And throughout the continent. Then we have members like Spay Taxi Cab, which is a transportation company that accepts the Solo dollar for payments. We have B2Big, which is an education service and an education and trading service. They also have an OTC desk where people can be able to go and buy cryptocurrencies. So they're helping us bring Solo to the population in by providing an access point that people can be able to swap their Ugandan shillings for Solo dollars or Solo. Then we also have Kanzu Code. Kanzu Code is a fintech that develops software. They're currently building out a wallet that can enable Ugandan saving Solo dollars, CUSD. So this is huge for the market in as far as this goes, because the average saver in the country saves in Ugandan shillings, which over time have been seen to depreciate from US dollar. So from where we are right now, we also do have some entities working on building a liquidity rail for CUSD within the Ugandan market. It's called Morcom. Morcom also do, they also run an exchange called Muda, and the exchange is designed to provide liquidity within the Ugandan, actually the East African market, for CUSD and other cryptocurrencies that can actually be able to be accessed by various members of society. So these are five players within the Ugandan space only, but there are very many others, as Daniel can talk about what is in Kenya, South Africa, Nigeria. And we have seen real life use cases on Solo through the work of various alliance members. Now you can look at, say, Morcom, that is building out a liquidity rail that is going to be able to provide CUSD, the Solo dollar, to various entities and third parties. So if you have an application that needs to source CUSD, you can easily call their API and you can be able to get the liquidity on demand. This would help us in as far as having liquidity for the Solo dollar within the African market in general. And we are very excited to see how the alliance plays out in the coming months and days ahead. Otherwise, it's a very good opportunity to see various entities from various fields working together for a common goal. And it's one of the fundamental pillars of our success so far. And we hope to build on what we've been able to gain to this point.
Okay, over to you, Dan, from the Kenyan side, and just your overview in terms of where you lived, and maybe touch briefly about what you've seen, maybe a few companies that are building on Solo, some of the trends, and maybe some of those partnerships that are happening here locally.
Thank you. I guess for those in Kenya, perhaps if you're listening to this in 2021, you may notice that the rates that are offered out in as consumer loans on the various apps that we have on our mobile phones usually have a very high interest rate. And a similar thing also happens for businesses, especially businesses that are unable to access traditional forms of capital. They do access capital quite expensively. And so this would be your regular merchants, perhaps merchants on Jumia, perhaps merchants on different online platforms, those that also conduct businesses in brick and mortar stores. And so one of the partnerships that we had, and one of the alliance members that we have on, is Pesesha. And we worked together with a few other alliance members and a VC partner who provided the promissory note, that is the loan that went out to Pesesha. And what we were doing was an experiment to test whether by using blockchain rails, we would be able to reduce the cost of borrowing by Pesesha, and as a consequence, issue out more affordable loans to the merchants that subscribe to Pesesha's service. And so while that experiment is still going on, very interesting results have come up, and perhaps there could be opportunities to scale that project and make it larger. And so Pesesha is one of our alliance members, and it has been really interesting working with them, alongside many other alliance partners that are now joining the ecosystem. We are seeing more and more partners that have a huge merchant base, some of which I would love to speak about, but are in the process of joining the alliance. And hopefully we'll have a session, perhaps also inviting them over to come and speak about what we'll be collaborating on together. But we also have a partner that is focused on remittances across Australia, Kenya, South Sudan, and Uganda, and that's PesaBase. And it has been interesting to see, especially the technology evolution from their team. They have been building on Solo for quite some time and have really grown in their technical expertise of how they are able to facilitate these cross-border remittances. And so this is some of very interesting use cases that we are seeing. We're also seeing other use cases that are being done by alliance partners who you may necessarily not say that they are based in Kenya specifically. One of the most successful projects that we've done is the MicroWork pilot that we did in 2000 and, it started out in 2020, and then we had a bigger rollout of it in 2021. That is in the first quarter, January to April of this year. And we had about 250 young people who work online, but instead of getting their money into the traditional platforms that they would get, traditionally people receive money either in their bank accounts, on PayPal, or on various other online payment channels. And so for this particular micro work experiment, or rather pilot, what we were testing was whether we could unlock more forms of work and unlock more opportunities for employment for people if we leverage stable currencies as a platform through which people can receive payment. And so working with Masiko, Appen, Kosali, and our local ecosystem partner, KotaniPay, we were able to come up with this pilot program where people worked online. What they were doing is working on AI jobs, categorization of the different items that would be sent out to them. So these are micro tasks, and they would do these categorization jobs, labeling jobs, basically preparing the data to be consumed by AI algorithms. And we saw quite an interesting phenomenon, because not only did it show that there was a demand for work and a demand for stable currency payments as a channel, and that channel was way more affordable for people to use, it also showed that it could then start off a new kind of trend where people started saving, and then they also started looking more and learning more about decentralized finance. So that was very interesting to learn in the work that we did from January until April, and I guess more information shall be coming out as we move forward. So that was one of those very interesting projects that we saw being done by Alliance Partners focused on this ecosystem of Kenya.
Great insights. I think I'll there's a lot to be done. I think entrepreneurs are building extremely innovative solutions. And as we come to the end of this chat, I'll want us to go into education and into the education bit of digital currencies. As you are aware, crypto education is still in the crypto market is still in the nascent stages across the continent, and of course many people do not understand how this works. And I believe Celo has been focusing on the entrepreneur side of such a huge ecosystem, from entrepreneurs to developers to generally anyone who's running or even anyone running a fintech product. I would like you to touch now over to Umar. I would like you to touch on what Celo is doing to improve crypto literacy and education across the continent.
Thank you very much, Eric. And something that we would all agree on across the continent is that education is something that is key towards the adoption of cryptocurrencies and blockchain technology in general. So Celo has education as a foundational pillar within the, I would say, within the ecosystem support structure that we have. Some of the funding specifically comes out to support education initiatives that are going to be able to take people from zero to 100% when it comes to understanding how blockchain technology works. If you look at the last rounds of funding from the foundation grants program, you find that there's always been a slot for education. That education slot simply gets bigger, meaning the foundation is seeking to fund more education initiatives within the program. So for the case of Africa, we really do try to see that the ecosystem grows, and we encourage anybody who can be able to work on the education front to look out for the grants that come. Whenever these grants programs roll out, they do have slots for education, and people should be able to come forth and bring what they can to the table. Right now, there is a rolling fund that is the Celo Community Fund that has four categories, and one of them is education. So if anybody has an initiative that is geared towards educating the mass public about various aspects of the Celo blockchain ecosystem, please do consider looking at that. Then also, we do have the Celo Camp. Celo Camp is an initiative that seeks to build capacity for entrepreneurs and developers. We can look at it as a fast-tracking avenue that can be able to upgrade the education level of the entrepreneurs and developers within the space. So if somebody is starting a startup, if somebody is a developer just trying to see what the next level looks like, Celo Camp is a very unique opportunity for them to go and see how they would be able to cut it in the real world, because it has an 8-week accelerator program that is designed to take initiatives from where they are right now to where they should be in the near future. And talking right now, we saw that the last batch, which is Celo Camp batch 4, closed applications on August 24th. And as we speak this week, the finalists for this batch have been announced, and the camp will start on the 23rd of September, which is tomorrow. And folks will be, the finalists who will be in this batch will be taken through an 8-week accelerator program that will be able to give them mentorship, give them guidance, and also give them a platform to build and learn how they can be able to make it within the blockchain ecosystem. The mentorship panel within Celo Camp is extremely helpful. There are very many individuals there who bring a wealth of experience from their years within the crypto space and also the venture capital space. They can help anybody raise capital if you are interested in this. And I do encourage anybody to look out for the next batch of Celo Camp. Then we also have another initiative. This is specifically for the developers. Currently, the Celo ecosystem is having a, we're in the theme of DeFi for the people. So DeFi for the people is leveraging Celo's mobile fast technology to bring decentralized finance to the 6 billion smartphones around the planet. So we know that financial inclusion is being driven by the mobile phone. And we know that the it's currently the most widespread device on the planet that the average consumer does have. So to bring this niche of the blockchain space, DeFi, to the mobile phone is a way that you can be able to lower the barriers to entry for various people across the continent. So in as far as DeFi is a bit complicated right now, we do have an initiative for the developers, which is going to be a hackathon starting on October 1st. It's going to be geared towards developers to kind of build out their ideas, work with non-fungible tokens, NFTs, build solutions for DeFi that can be able to bring lending, liquidity, staking to as many people as can be reached within the timeframe given there. So if you're a developer out there, I urge you to head over to devpost.com, and the URL is mobiledefi.devpost.com. You can sign up, and this will actually go live on October 1st. So the developers are catered for in that. We've also had various hackathons in the past that have been able to educate various individuals, mainly developers from East Africa, like the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, East African Youth Hackathon that happened last year, whereby we had various teams of developers coming to build a solution that could be able to tackle corruption. And the winning team came from East Africa, which is a testament, and actually building the solution on Celo. And this is a testament to what Celo can do in as far as educating our current developer base right now, bringing them to be the next developers that the continent needs to build solutions that we do actually need. And this would actually take all of us forward. So education, in a nutshell, education is a very huge aspect of Celo, as we know that without education, people really wouldn't know what we're trying to do. We first educate them to know where we are right now and where we need to go, and also to be able to raise the capabilities of the various ecosystem players like developers who can actually build the applications that we need to serve and create this prosperity for all by building a financial system that works for all.
Because I'm sure this will be exciting to a lot of developers or builders. Maybe you can repeat, where can people get, again, this information if they want to learn about the initiatives from Celo?
Yeah, well, initially, if you want to know anything that's happening within the Celo space, you can head over to the Celo website, which is celo.org. On there, you can find a vast array of resources on whatever is trending within the Celo universe at any given time. But specifically, if you're a developer out there and you want to get your hands into the DeFi space, you want to see what you can build and also have support as you build it, we're currently having an initiative under DeFi for the people, whereby you can build mobile-friendly DeFi applications through the hackathon environment. The hackathon will be hosted on DevPost, and to go to the website, it's mobiledefi.devpost.com. Even if you just went to devpost.com, you'll be able to find the list of hackathons there. You can be able to register there, and it goes live on October 1st.
Thanks a lot, James, for sharing such great insights. I believe this is just the first of the many podcasts that we're going to have. To just explain to our audience or people who are interested in building solutions on the blockchain. And we really appreciate for making it today. And maybe, David, your closing remarks?
Yeah, thank you again, Umar. Thank you, Daniel, again, for just taking the time to talk to us. There's quite a lot that's happening within the Celo ecosystem. It's quite exciting to see also the initiatives that are happening, the opportunities for entrepreneurs, for developers. I can only urge our listeners to, you know, just head over to Celo.org and just have a look at what's happening.
Thanks a lot. See you in our next podcast, hopefully the coming year.